Hello, everybody, and it's Sunday early evening, and it's another day for Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Yes, boys and girls, sports news that we can get enough of and maybe can't will be the itinerary for today here. Hopefully you had a great Sunday and a even maybe excellent beginning of the week here. We'll go further with that. We don't want to spoil it, but here we go, folks. The Detroit Tigers had a Sunday with 12 unearned errors over the last five games here. And on Sunday, it made no doggone difference because they kept that good feeling going. As a 4-1 loss to the Toronto Blue Jays at Rogers Center, just keep compounding. The defense committed four errors. All four runs were earned. However, the offense posted three hits and only one walk. What a fine day, boys and girls. One of those hits was a home run by Javi Baez, okay, against his brother-in-law, who was the pitcher. I won't give his name because I don't want to mess up the whole family. But then after that, Javi Baez, two errors today to compound with the 16 he has in total this season. What a heck of a year for a man who only got 10 home runs and a very low batting average and was paid an excellent lot of money for the next 3 years. Boy, I don't know. The day before that, yesterday, Drew Hutchinson, he returned to the Rogers Center as he was placed on the opening day roster in 2015. However, he provided the Detroit Tigers with a solid performance on Saturday against the Toronto Blue Jays. He's only 31 years old. He allowed only one run and two hits and three walks in five innings and left the Tigers in pretty good doggone shape. However, the Tigers squandered the game again in the sixth inning when the right-handed reliever Derek Law allowed four runs due to a hit by a pitch member, which was Grell, and a fielding error on his own, plus a wild pitch and three runs. And it just mixed me up here. Also, a three-run homer in his first MLB appearance since July the 10th of 2021. He sure know how to celebrate. The Tigers lost that game 5-3 in the third of four games in the series. I don't know what to say, boys and girls, but maybe this will be a comforting news up above here. The 2022 Major League Baseball draft deadline is soon upon us. And I know a handful of squads are pursuing new life with meaningful transactions there. This year, trade deadline is a bit later than usual. Normally, you cut off the thing around about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's Eastern Standard Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time. But this year is special because the teams have until 6 p.m. That's 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time or daylight, whatever you prefer. And that deadline is August the 2nd to file your paperwork in to Major League Baseball's league office to complete your trade. Now, what makes Major League Baseball teams eligible for this particular ordeal? Teams were eligible all year long to make trades. However, most will wait until the last possible moment when they know or have a chance at a World Series ring or to sell big league players to rebuild their farm system. That was the most polite thing I can say about trading here, because Detroit has been on two sides of the roads with this there. Nevertheless, it's going to be a busy, hot time in Major League Baseball as it already has started with trades. Not no big names there, but it's going to be some names that flicker on out there like a flashlight for other teams who are trying to get to playoff ramifications and, again, maybe build their roster and their farm system and do their thing. I don't know what else to say. I know what my dad would say, but I don't want to say that on a Sunday. And Glenn expected Jeff Okuda to play all 17 games this year. That was one of the things he talked about at the camp in Allen Park for the Detroit Lions. That has been a big bug on him since he's been with the Detroit Lions, and he's not played a whole season. Now, several Lion players will begin their 2022 training camp with injuries. That's including two draft picks. Now, Lions place Roman Akawa, Josh Prakash, or Pascal, as some people would say, Jerry Jacobs, and Jameson Williams, who, by the way, is a first-round draft pick, on the NFL's pulp list there. That means they will probably be out of the commission for at least four games of the regular season. The Detroit Lions forfeit scrimmage practice, though, just for you boys and girls, it's free, and tickets are now available for that free event. Detroit Lions have their annual Family Fest practice at Ford Field. It's going to be scheduled for August the 6th. And guess what? It's free to the public here, boys and girls. So get your tickets now. Go to Lions.com, DetroitLions.com, and get details on how you can get that. I'm quite sure you can go to Ford Field's box office and secure your home with such a package of being able to sit in Ford Field, buy some snacks and stuff, and watch the Detroit Lions practice. What fun can you have? Speaking of, this was funny, but I had to pick it off here, like a hard pick-off slop. Undrafted free agent kicker, Andrew Mervis, he didn't get a great start with his NFL career here. 4 days into training camp, Mervis was cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars after missing three field goals during the team's Thursday warm-up, according to ESPN's Michael DeRoscoe. One of those field goals reportedly missed his mark so badly that it hit former Dallas's head coach Dave Campo in the shoulder. And the other two was so bad, it wasn't even close to the goalpost. So now the little kicker is, should I say, unemployed and looking for another line of work. Or maybe another team. I don't know. UFC 277 was headlined by Amanda Nunes regaining her bantamweight title, reaffirming the GOAT statue with dominance of win over Juliana Pena last night there. I got that late at night after I just got finished looking at WWE SummerSlam, which, by the way, I have results. And I would grade this a doggone good event. WWE did put their foot into this particular occasion. Yep, Roman Reigns outlasted Brock Lesnar last night in a very different match, I'm going to put it that way, and that's the main event. Reigns overcame a lot of challenges from Lesnar that even included the use of a tractor, which he rode in when he was introduced or when his music came on. Brock Lesnar simply got on a tractor and rode to the ring area of the of the event there. Oh, boy, it was good. At the end, the Reigns, with the help from the Usos and Paul Heyman, was able to once again defeat Lesnar to remain the undisputed champion. Reigns and Lesnar also had to fight off an attempt by Theory to cash in his Money in the Bank contract in midway through the match, adding one more layer of chaos during the proceedings there. And it was so funny when the guy came on out there because the match wasn't halfway over, and he and both of them, Reigns as well as Lesnar, were just beating the crap out of each other. I mean, mercilessly here. However, it was such a great event there. Attractor at one point in time raised the ring while Reigns was on it, and he politely rolled all the way to the other end, falling in front of the announcer's table for SummerSlam here. It was this thing was comical, but again, it had some substance to it here of this particular occasion there, and it was just something to behold. But that was not only the match that really had cramped to a style there. There were 5 titles being on the line that particular night. No belts changed hands in this championship, was able to score victories. Not even champion was even retained without controversy, though. It was a lot of controversy in this particular one. In this particular match. And we'll talk about Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, okay? They had a great, great match. And nevertheless, after the match, after Belair won, Bayley made her return as Belair was celebrating her victory. Bayley was on the sideline for more than a year. We haven't seen Bayley. And she made her way to the ring, and Dakota Kai music hit, and she walked out to join Bayley. Kai has been released from the WWE in April, but she's back. And Lo Chikara music then hit the doggone stadium, and she joined Bayley and Kai. The 3 women entered the ring, confronting Belair, only for Becky Lynch to jump into the ring and stand side by side with the women's champion of Raw, leading Bayley with her group back down the aisle for another peaceful day, or at least a peaceful celebration for Bianca Belair. The other women's match, Ronda Rousey, that was another joke indeed here. It was a good doggone match. To me, it was the worst match of the night. However, Rousey made it very interesting. She locked the armbar. However, Morgan stacked Rousey, and the referee, instead of looking at the whole picture, is not only counted to 3, despite Morgan was tapping out while he was doing this counting. And camera at shot show where basically Morgan shouldn't have been the champion. Rousey attacked Morgan after the match and locking her in another armbar and taking her down and making her look a lot more sicker than what she is. And the referee even got picked on up, got a hip toss, and locked his armbar as well. If he was part of the doggone problem, he's no longer part of the solution here. She took them both out here. And, you know, Riddle came out there, although he was not able to compete. He came out and called Seth Rollins out there, only to beat him up for a couple of seconds down the aisle before they got to the ring. They brawled in the entranceway, and they ended up where Rollins hit Riddle with a stomp again that put him out in the first place. You know, it was timely days that went on there. In other matches, the Usos defeated the Street Profit on a pinfall there. That was a good match indeed. Pat McAfee and Happy Corbin, average match, but, you know, pretty entertaining. The Mysterios defeat Judgment Day via the pinfall there. That was pretty good too, but they showed the Edge came back. Coming down a flaming flight of stairs and beat the crap out of the 2 foes that tried to overturn him in the first place there. And the Mysterios won. Bobby Lashley, he defeated Theory in a pinfall to retain his title and ran him out of there like a doggone wet dish rag. And Logan Paul, which was a pretty good doggone match, he defeated The Miz with a pinfall. And there you have it, SummerSlam. Again, it was a pretty good, entertaining show. Indeed, it was all kinds of surprises and stunts that I wouldn't even think of. And overall, I give SummerSlam a B-. No, I'll give it a B+. I'll upgrade it there. That was fun. This is not so fun. William Felton Russell, other known as Bill Russell, passed away today with his wife Gina by his side. He was 88 years old. To me and to a whole lot of others, he was the greatest winner in professional sports. Not only that, in life. Russell had 11 championships in 13 seasons. Unlikely, that would never be matched by anybody. He had one for the toe. Russell's decorated career included 12 All-Star appearances and an Olympic gold medal in 1956. He was at his best in the bigger moments. In 30 elimination games and at the college, pro, and Olympic level, Russell's record, whatever team he was on, was 28-2. Russell was born February the 12th in Monroe, Louisiana, where racism was deep-seated. Russell's parents, Charles and Katie, knew people there who had been born slaves. Black men and women were forced to wait behind the lines and behind white people who were placed like in drugstores and gas stations. He remembered a time when his mother, Katie, Russell, made a dress, brand new suit, that made herself look great and fabulous. And she was stopped by the police and was told not to wear the white women's clothes, according to a feature on Russell in 2001. And I remember that very well. That shocked the crap out of me. Russell's family moved to Oakland in 1940, where basketball took its hold on Russell. He was a gifted athlete, but yes, before the college basketball accolades and a pair of national championships, before the 11 NBA titles and 5 most valuable players, he was one of the most, to me, fearsome defenders that ever played, and a man firmly entrenched in controversy and conversation for the greatest player of all time. And just believe it or not, he was only 5'10" in high school, where he didn't start in high school until his senior year. In those days, you had to earn it. In retirement, Russell continued to be recognized for his achievement. He was named to the NBA's 50 Greatest Players in 1996, and he had Finals Most Valuable Player trophies after him. Named after him in 1999. In 2011, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And in 2013, Boston unveiled a statue in his honor. For all these accomplishments, he was best known for on and off the court. Bill Russell never backed down to anybody or any conversation. He was always adamant when it come down to telling the truth of how minorities were treated in this country and was continuing to treat and be treated in this country. And that even went down to Boston, the city that he played for, and kept himself respectable, although the city was in shambles when it come down to race relations there. He was part of a lot of that where people had changed their minds and their hearts and how they treat other minorities. It is a shame that things have to be this way. What's old saying that Russell used to say sometimes when I would see him and was lucky enough to take part. He always had a smile on his face when he talked, but he was on business. And it was an honor and a privilege to even meet him. I met Bill Russell 3 times, and each and every time he always had a grin and a laugh and a side joke to go with it to keep you, if you was in a bad mood, you'd be a happy one again. Yep, Russell was a man of honor. up close and personal. And I will always respect that in him. And anybody, and I keep telling everybody to this day, when they ask me who's the best basketball player in the world, I'm sorry. It never came out, it always come out of my mouth. I always say Bill Russell. And all you Michael Jordan lovers, Kobe Bryant lovers, and a whole lot of, no disrespect. But Bill Russell was the best. We also another pioneer today as well that not so much in sporting news, but again in the world of life. Nichelle Nichols, who was a groundbreaking actor who played Lieutenant Natoya Uhura on Star Trek. She passed away yesterday. She was 89 years old. She appeared in Star Trek and was an accomplished dancer before that happened and choreographer, which I, you know, take pride in because that's where my mom sent me that tap dancing school here. So I was always curious about that. Her debut on Star Trek was in 1966. Initially, she was going to leave the show after the first year because she felt it lacked depth. However, after meeting Martin Luther King Jr., who was a fan of the show, and told her she was the face of better things to come for many, she stayed. You know, you hate ending the show, but on this case, ending the show with two people of respect and dignity, and also this lady, Nichols, was an ambassador of NASA, of getting minorities to join NASA and be astronauts and other components in the space race in this country there. You know, I was able to see both of those particulars in my lifetime there. And hopefully all who have not seen her, maybe take the time off to go on YouTube and look up some things, or wiki, and find out about them. It's one thing this country really fails me very miserably. They fail to talk about history. If it's good, bad, or ugly, we're supposed to be better people because of it there. And be able to influence others to be better people too. So, look it up. It'll help you out. Another edition of Butch on Sports is done there. Butch on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Productions. Check out Butch on Facebook. Always on Facebook there as the trade deadline approaches us there. And we'll talk about that on Wednesday. You go to Podomatic. Type in SimpleButchToO.podomatic.com. And also, you can go to thegamesportshow.podbean.com to catch Butch on Sports and many other The Game Sports shows, pilot shows that we got going on. And this week, we don't have a game because, again, congratulations to Scott Nason and his beautiful wife, Becky, who's, yes, celebrating their anniversary, their second anniversary there. Hey. Congratulations. I'm still going to send you the happy anniversary. tape that I found for the Flintstones there. Hey, have a very good beginning of the week. I'll be checking, or hopefully you'll check me out on Wednesday here with another edition of Butch on Sports here. Okay? All righty now.